24 minutes before 10 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in. When my dad passed away 4 years before my mom did, and she never turned the electricity over into her name. In other words, the electric bill always came in my dad's name the entire time my mom was alive. My mom died 4 years later, and when she died, then I started paying the electric bill, and I would do it the old-fashioned way. I would just send a check and take care of it. And 1 month, and the reason I kept it going, even though nobody was at the house, well, it was obvious. You know, we have a refrigerator there, we have an air conditioner there. You want to keep this house running while you're trying to sell it, right? You want to keep the electricity on. So I'm paying the electric bill. One month, I realized, oh my goodness, it's due today, and I forgot to send it in. So I thought, well, why don't I pay their bill the way I pay my bill? I'll just do it online, right? So I go online to try to pay my mom's electric bill, and can't do it because it's not, for some reason, I had her social security number. It needed the social security number, and then I started realizing, wait a minute, it's in my dad's name. Oh, okay. I don't know that I have his social security number written down anywhere. So I go to the phone, and I say to the lady at the electric company, I got a situation, I need to pay the bill, and I forgot. And it's not really late, it's due today. And long story short, she says, well, do you know your dad's social security number? I said, no, that's the problem. I don't know it. Well, we can't do anything. And if you're not him, we can't do anything. Can we speak to him? I said, well, he's gone. He's passed away, and so is my mom, and that's the circumstance I'm in. I need, well, we can't have a bill going to the name of a deceased person. We have to put it in your name. Okay. No problem. Put it in my name. Okay? Mm-hmm. So I give her all my information. Now, guess what? There's a refund due to my dad.
Yeah.
So they send the check to me in my dad's name, which I don't know what to do with. I haven't done anything with it yet. But it started occurring to me that the way my mom and dad did things, because they were, you know, the older generation, they didn't have automatic deductions. They didn't pay their bills automatically the way I do. You know, I look at my account, and I know, okay, I just put money in, and there it goes. There it goes, it went out.
That's right, it's right? Quick. Zip, zip.
You can watch it. I know exactly when things are going to come out. I have it all set up. Okay, so now let's look at this as if I'm dead. Okay? Let's say I'm dead. No, I'm never going to die. But let's say I do, okay? Now, I have all these automatic deductions, and let's say my son is now going to be taking care of my bills. And let's say I left him enough money in the account so that, don't worry, I'm dead, but you'll be able to pay my bills until you sell the house that I have, right? Uh-huh. And he can take care of them. Now, let's say he doesn't know. He doesn't know that I've got this automatic thing. Or he can't get into it because he doesn't know my social security number. All of a sudden, cha-ching, 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 the thing I subscribe to what do I subscribe to?
Reverb Nation.
SoundClick. I got a lot of musical stuff that automatically comes out every month, right? A lot of things I pay. I'm trying to think of another one that everybody could maybe understand. Well, anyway, I have
Cox Cable.
Cox Cable comes out automatically.
Subscribe to Cox
All right.
Cable.
All right. So let's just say this stuff starts coming out. Well, we had a guest a long time ago, and he's on the air with us right now to help us out with this. His book is called Financial Self-Defense. His name is Hillel L. Presser, and he's got an opportunity for you for a free book. He'll explain it to you in a second. How to protect everything you own from everyone every time, and guess what? Even if you're gone.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why we're talking today. Plan ahead for your digital afterlife is the topic. And Hillel, I'm sorry, I went so long there. Hillel is an attorney. He serves on the Nova Southeastern University's President Advisory Council. He's here in Florida, I think. But anyway, that's really not as important as the subject. Asset Protection Secrets is the new book, and then this one, Financial Self-Defense. Good morning, Hillel.
Hi, thanks for having me today.
And thank you for waiting through that. I wanted to explain it, though, because I think it illustrates that everybody's going to be facing this eventually.
Yeah, well, listen, I think you did a great job of explaining it. You know, what our firm does is, you know, we help clients protect every asset they have, you know, from any financial threat. You know, people work hard their whole life so they can retire, give money to their kids, donate money to charities. Well, one lawsuit, one divorce, one car accident, one slip and fall can take every single thing away. We also try and help people plan for the afterlife. You know, we help help them with estate planning, wills and trust, and things of that nature. And what we see is probably one of the biggest things that people miss and leave out is when they're doing their asset protection planning or when they're doing their estate planning, they totally forget about any digital media assets.
Yeah.
You know, they think obviously about what money they have in the bank and what real estate they own and what car they drive, but they never talk about what about their libraries of music? What about their photo albums online? What about their login and username and passwords for bill pays?
Yeah.
You know, what about all their social media accounts? They might have valuable domain names or email addresses. You know, it's never ending. So we try and tell people to make sure, hey, listen, protect every single asset you have in case there's ever a lawsuit, including the digital media. And when you pass away, you know, you want all your assets, including the digital media, to go where you want them to go as quickly and as privately as possible.
Can I ask a question before we find out how to do that? The question is, what happens if you don't do that? Does the state somehow get the money? Let's say it's money coming in, because Robin and I get royalties. They're not big, but we get royalties for music that we've created. It's money that gets paid to us simply because people download our music.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, probably about 7 out of 10 Americans die without wills and trust and things of that nature, and I never understood it, because if one thing in life is guaranteed, it's death. And I know people don't like to think about it, but they need to prepare for it. So unless they want to give their money to the state of Florida, or unless they want Florida to decide, or any other state that they're in, where the money's going to go, they need to put something together. So it is so important, you know, that they really learn about both protecting their assets and making sure that they have a good estate plan to say what they have and where it should go.
Okay.
Should you have a paper trail in a physical paper in a filing cabinet, or is it okay to keep all of this information online in a folder?
Well, you know, you really want to keep physical papers when it comes to an estate plan, because you'll need that for the courts. You know, there's nothing wrong with keeping copies online and, you know, maybe telling a trusted advisor, whether it's a friend, a relative, a lawyer, you know, where they are. But I would definitely recommend keeping, you know, originals or hard copies, you know, whether you're keeping them in the safety deposit box or you have, you know, our law firm keeps them for some clients. But definitely you want to have them, you know, in a safe place, not just online.
You know, a funny thing happened with my mom's, I guess it was her AOL, I think it was. I can't remember what I needed to get in there for, but I wanted to find something. And her password was wacky, just for lack of a better word, because she was unfamiliar with it. So she accidentally hit a K, and she accidentally hit another K, and these two Ks don't even make sense in this password. But it was like, are you sure that's the right password? I knew this before she passed away. She told me what it was.
Well, you know how hard it is, you know, if you forget a username or a password,
right,
or a security question that you created 10 years ago, you know how hard it is, how much
right.
time it takes, money it takes to try and figure it out. You know,
right.
Imagine doing that for a dead person. Well, not only is it time-consuming, not only can it be expensive, you know, depending on who you're trying to get this information from, whether it's Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Google+, you know, Gmail, etc., they might tell you, you know what, we don't care who you are. You know, in our terms and regulations and our privacy
right,
policies,
right.
You know, you can't even take someone else's account. So if you don't have the information to get in, you might never get it.
Yeah, well, and maybe the answer to the question is, what happens if we don't do anything? I guess, I don't know. I mean, I guess it wouldn't really matter if it was Facebook or something like that. But
I wouldn't say that, because think about
really?
It. You know, what if you had a parent who had a successful business? I mean, let's say it was an ice cream store. I don't know. It could be
okay.
anything. And
all
let's
right.
say they've spent a long time and they have, you know, 5,000, you know, followers, or I like to call them fans on Facebook. You know, those are people that they're interacting with on a daily or weekly basis that can bring a lot of business into that ice cream shop or whatever the business is. You know, you can't get into that. You know, that's, you know, you want to go sell your parents' business when they pass away. You want to go take over the business when they pass away. Well, now
right.
you have a lot less to deal with.
Now, how
yeah,
can,
that's true.
How can a person do that if there is a successful business and the parents have the business, they're running it and everything, if they just neglect to designate a beneficiary, what happens to the business? How do you get it in your name?
Well, if they don't do it, it's going to be tough, if not impossible. You know, the three steps that I to say are, number one, before you do anything, you have to educate yourself. And if any of your listeners go to our website, it's www.assetprotectionattorneys.com. If they go to our website, as long as they mention your show, I will send them a free copy of Financial Self-Defense, a free copy of Asset Protection Secrets, free shipping. So before they do anything, educate themselves. Number two, I tell people, you need to inventory what you have. So you really need to make a list of every single asset you have, whether it's cars, homes, boats, businesses, social media, etc. But what you want to have is you want to have a list of all your usernames, all your passwords, all your logins, all your accounts, etc., etc. And what you want to do with that is you want to keep it in a safe place, like a safety deposit box. You want to give it to a trusted advisor, you know, that you trust, whether it's a CPA, a friend, a relative, a lawyer. And then you can just simply put in your will who you want to leave the information to and who they should go see to get that information. I would never leave the actual username and passwords in the will because that could end up being public record.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's good advice. And that's in the book?
Correct. And again, if they go to our website, it's www.assetprotectionattorneys.com. As long as they mention your show, we'll send them the book for free.
You know, every once in a while we'll have somebody on the show who has written a book based on letters that they found in their mothers, their grandfathers, their great-grandparents, like chest of something, you know. They go up in the attic and they find all these handwritten letters. And I was thinking that in today's day and age, everybody does everything with e-something, whether it's email or a blog or something. And if you do have somebody, like, for example, sending letters, and later on it's going to be some kind of a family record or an heirloom of some sort, it's all electronic, and you can't have access to it, that's all lost. That stuff will never be surfacing in the way that stuff from the 40s and 30s and 20s is surfacing now.
Yeah, correct. So, you know, what we've kind of been talking about so far today is, you know, how to make sure you don't lose those assets.
Yeah.
But I think you also need to look at it the other way around, just from two other directions. Number one is, you might have information, email accounts, whatever it may be, that you specifically don't want people to have access to. If you don't leave who you want to have access and give them at least a way to get the right information from the trusted advisor, well, who knows who might, you know, contact all these companies, you know, claiming that they're entitled to your account. You know, also, another direction is, you know, like you've talked about, you know, you might set up bill pay, you know, to automatically ping your credit card or your bank account for the car loan, for the cell phone, for the electric, for the mortgage. Well, if somebody can't get in to stop those, it's just going to drain the bank account.
Yeah, Robert, that reminds me. If I die, please cancel my online subscription to Penthouse.
Oh,
please.
There you go.
I don't want anybody to know that I've been viewing Penthouse online.
I'll call Bob Guciani myself. I'll just let him know.
You know what? There's probably more truth to that. I mean, it's silly, but there's probably some truth to that, right?
That's right.
I mean, here's what I tell people. You know, you spend a whole lifetime trying to make money and to gain assets. You know, I tell them, for every 60 minutes you spend making money, spend 60 seconds thinking about how to protect it. Because again, one thing, you know, you could be 60, 70, 80 years old, getting ready to retire, and one thing could take it away. You know, our society is only getting more litigious day by day. You know, with the bad economy, lawsuits are really becoming the next biggest business, and you really have to protect every asset you have, whether it's the digital assets, the digital media, anything, you know, both while you're alive and then while you pass away, because if not, unfortunately, it might end up in the wrong hands.
You also address a divorce in your book. Now, what if a person has been divorced for a long time, that person dies? Does that woman have a right to come after your estate and everything, or is it?
Well, it could be a man. No, I'm just kidding.
That's right, but I don't like the women.
The answer is maybe, and I hate to give you the gray lawyer answer, but, you know, unfortunately the law is not black and white, and, you know, if you don't have proper estate planning documents drafted up like wills and trusts, then the state will probably dictate where it's going to go, and every single state is different. So it's going to depend on where you live, it's going to depend on, you know, do you have children, do you not have children, you know, who are the closest related relatives, etc., etc. But, you know, again, it's so simple. You can avoid all of that by putting together an estate plan. I mean, you know, call an attorney, you know, whoever the asset protection attorney is or the estate planning attorney is, and put together, you know, wills, trusts, things that, you know, when you do pass away, at least you know it's going to go where you want it to go.
I wanted to make sure that the audience also knew this about the book. There's two books we're talking about simultaneously, right? Asset Protection Secrets and Financial Self-Defense?
Correct.
Okay. Okay. But Asset Protection Secrets is your new one, right?
Yeah, you know, they're both fairly new. We did a revised edition, so both of them are great.
Okay. Well, what I think is important to point out is that it seems like we're talking only about after we're gone. The information that I remember from our previous conversations was also technical advice as how to protect your stuff right now.
100%, you know.
Yeah.
If you have real estate in your name, well, if you get sued, someone can take it. You know, if you have a shares in the corporation or membership interest in the LLC, if you get sued, there's a chance someone could take it. Certainly, if you have checking, savings, stock, bond, brokerage accounts in your personal name, you know, if you get sued, someone can take it. And, you know, everyone says, well, I'm not going to get sued. I've never been sued before. The stats are is that the average person is sued 5 times over their lifetime, and that 1 in 3 people will be sued in the next 12 months. So nobody is immune from being sued, and let me explain to you, nobody gets up in the morning and expects to be sued. I have clients that have never been sued, and I have clients that get sued probably 10, 12 times a month. Don't wait till it's too late. You know, you can't buy health insurance after you get sick. You can't buy car insurance after you get in a car accident. You need to proactively put together an asset protection plan to protect what you have. You know, protect the real estate that you worked so hard for. You know, protect the money or the stocks and the bonds that you worked so hard for, because one liability issue can take it all away. And listen, it might be a car accident. It might be a short sale or foreclosure deficiency. Someone might slip and fall on your property. Maybe you sold the business and the old owner runs it to the ground and he comes back and sues you. I mean, it's never ending. And all that information's in the book. And, you know, again, our website's www.assetprotectionattorneys.com. And as long as they mention your show, I'll send them a copy of, you know, Financial Self-Defense and Asset Protection Secrets.
You mentioned trust for children in your book, which is very, very helpful.
Yeah, you know, trusts are a great thing. You know, they can be used for asset protection. They can also be used for estate planning. So there's dozens of different types of trusts you can create, both domestically inside the United States and internationally outside of the United States. And they're used for a lot of different reasons. You know, sometimes they're used for asset protection to make sure, you know, creditors can't take anything. Sometimes they're used to avoid probate. So when you pass away, everything's private. There's less attorney's fees and, you know, the assets get where you want them to get a lot quicker. And sometimes they're really just to protect people from themselves. You know, you give an 18-year-old or a 21-year-old, you know, money when you pass away, well, probably within a year he's already bought a new car and a house and all the money's gone. So,
yeah.
You know, the trust might be there just to protect him from himself.
Yeah, good point. Again, there is an offer right now that if you want a free book, and that includes the postage and everything, get a hold of Hillel on the website. Tell me the website again.
www.assetprotectionattorneys.com, and there's just a contact form on the top of the site. As long as they mention your show, we'll send out both of those books for free.
Are you in Florida?
We are located in Florida, but we represent clients nationwide.
Okay, and I wanted to know if there was any state-specific rules or regulations. You mentioned before that people could take your things just by suing you. You could take your property, your money, whatever. And you know, when normally in the world you think, well, if somebody takes my stuff, they're breaking the law. But the strange thing about this is people can legally take your stuff. Not ethically, but it's not ethical, but it's legal, isn't it?
100%. And again, it varies by state. You know, for example, in Florida, your house might be protected. Your life insurance or annuities might be protected. But that might not be the case in Georgia. So every single state's different. And again, on our website, which is www.assetprotectionattorneys.com, on the left-hand side, you'll actually see it's called Financial Exemption Planning. If you click that, it will tell you every single thing for your state. So all you need to do is just find your state. It'll tell you what is protected, what's not protected.
What about the person who has not been really savvy with his money or her money, and they end up with a huge debt? Are the heirs responsible for that debt? And is there a way to protect your heirs from your debt?
Yeah. Again, the answer, and I hate to give you the gray answer, is potentially. It's going to vary state by state. You know, in some states, the husband can be responsible if the wife has debts and vice versa. I have a client right now, you know, he's being sued because his mother incurred a lot of debt before she passed away. He had nothing to do with it, and they're claiming, which is not true, that he orally promised to pay her debts, which, you know, is not true. So, unfortunately, our legal system makes it so easy and so inexpensive to sue someone, but it makes it so difficult and so expensive to defend yourself. So it is so important to put those plans together proactively.
That's true, which is why I guess any kind of way to protect yourself is important to know. I mean, you're right, it is easy to sue somebody. I mean, you hear about these lawsuits all the time.
Yeah.
And that's why I said people settle out of court.
Now listen, I had a guy come in a couple weeks ago, or maybe I spoke to him on the phone, and you think about this only happens in the movies, but it's not true. You know, the guy was burglarized. He had a robber or burglar come to his business. The guy was stealing things off the wall, using a crowbar or something. The wall ended up falling on the burglar, and I think he almost died. He had like $1 million in liabilities, and he's suing the business owner for $25 million.
Oh, geez.
I mean, it never ends, you know?
Oh, wow.
Holy cow.
Talk about overseas investments. How do you get your loved ones to be the beneficiaries of those investments without them knowing?
Sure. Well, you know, our firm does both domestic asset protection, which is inside the United States, and international asset protection, which is outside of the United States. And again, there's no one-size-fits-all, so what works for one person might not work for the other. But, you know, regardless of whether it's international or domestic, you always want to make sure that you have beneficiaries, and not just one. You know, if John's beneficiary number one, well, if John passes away, maybe it goes to Carrie. And if Carrie passed away, maybe it gets split between her children. But you really want to have a long line of succession, so God forbid anything happens, you know, you don't have to worry.
You know what comes to mind real quick? I wanted to mention this before. You've got 2 minutes or so. When we hear warnings like you're talking about, and somebody says, you know, that he's right, I really should do something about this. Next thing you know, they're online, they're Googling, they're saying, you know, ways to protect my assets, okay? And they might end up on a website of some organization or some person that is really not legit. And so you're basically looking for help from somebody who's a crook.
Yeah, unfortunately, the internet, is great in the sense that you know, information is at the tips of your fingers within seconds. The bad thing is, you know, a little bit of something, you know, could cause a lot of bit of harm. So, you know, make sure you go to a reputable source. You know, make sure you talk to an asset protection attorney.
Yeah.
You know, make sure you speak to an estate planning attorney. You know, they've done the extra schooling, they've put in the extra work rather than just going to a company. You know, ask them for references. You know, see how long they've been in practice. You know, what articles and books do they write for? Who are they associated with? But just like any purchase, you know, just like anything, you always want to make sure you do your due diligence. And, you know, don't try and do things on your own because, you know, when you're penny foolish and you lose everything, you know, it never makes sense in the end.
So you can educate yourself and take that information and be better aware of the things you need to do with the 2 books that we were talking about written by Hillel. Hillel Alpresser is his name, and his books are Financial Self-Defense, which, by the way, I have a copy right here. I'll give it away. And everybody can get a free copy just by going to the website, assetprotectionattorneys.com, and mention the show, and then you get a free book, and they pay for the postage and everything. The other book is called Asset Protection Secrets, just so you know the other name. Hello, thank you. Where are you again? Deerfield Beach?
Yeah, we're right on the border of Deerfield Beach and Boca Raton, Florida, which is down by, you know, Fort Lauderdale and West Palm Beach and
yeah.
Miami. So, but we help clients all over.
Okay. Well, good to speak to you again. It's been a while. Thank you for coming on the show.
No, thanks for having me. Have a great week.